Okay, so this week we're going to get into a little about kavana a little bit. So we mentioned the most important component or ingredient that we need to have in every davening for it to be effective is kavana, that we daven with our heart. And kavana, as we know, we said, makes the tefillah a body with a soul. And the Gemara in Brachos tells us, "Hamispalal tzar sheichavin eslibo b'kulon." One, if he has davens, has to have kavana in the whole thing, and then the Gemara breaks down. If not, at least in one bracha, and the Gemara comes out at least in the bracha of Avos. But the lechatchila is you need to have kavana in the whole davening. And it used to be there was a period that people used to daven where they just really schmoozed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would talk to him, tell him what they needed, tell him how the day went. But it was a real conversation. They were really, it was real to them. For us, however, davening has become somewhat different. And the Gemara in Brachos tells us, "Vamar Abelazim Yom Shechara Beis Hamikdash Nina Lushari Tefila," that from the day of the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, the gates of Tefila were closed, were locked. And the Satmar Rebbe asks, if the gates were locked, why do we daven? It seems a little bit for naught if our Tefilas can't get in anyway.
Of course, it's Shari Dima.
But who says Shari Dima, Shari Tefila?
In place of it.
It's two different gates.
Does it say Hashem makes a hole underneath his...
I forgot what that's for, but that's for Tshuva, I think.
What, Shari Dima?
No, where he makes a hole under his Kisei Kavod. So the Satmar Rebbe answers, he says, as basically he does finish this Gemara up, and he says, as the Gemara finishes, that V'aval Pisha Shari Tefila Ninalu Shari Dima Lo Ninalu. He says that the gate of tears is open. Now what does that mean? So he says when a person davens with tears, so that will bring all the tefilos along that got stuck at the gate that was locked. So the tears is the key. And Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz tells us, he says in the Yarish Devash, "From a spalul bedema, one who cries with tears, zero la oshem spalul leiv shalom." It's a sign he's davening with leiv shalom.
So if you don't daven with tears, it's as if you're not being reached.
Possibly, I certainly can't answer. I'm not great enough to tell you that for sure. But there's certainly something where tears are certainly something that shows that you're really in it. And as he says, "Well, kach bechi," the word bechi, beis chav yud, is begematria leiv. So therefore, if you're crying, it shows that your heart is in the davening. It's also brought in his name that if you daven with kavana, not necessarily meaning with tears, but if you daven with your lave, then that can make the tefillah like it was bibchi, and that also can get it through. So therefore, obviously, yes, if you do it with tears, it's certainly a sign, but at least if you really get your heart involved, your tefillos can still get through. And one of the most famous stories in Tanakh of a heartfelt tefillah was Chana, the mother of Shmuel HaNavi. And the Torah tells us that there were 113 words in Chana's tefillah. There were also 113 words in the accumulative endings of the brachos in Shmona Esrei, which is why one of the shittos, when you downgrade how much kavana you need in davening, the lechatchila again was everything. There's one level, and I don't remember the order at the moment, but there's one level that says at least the endings of each bracha, because of that 113 words. There's also one word in the Torah that's written 113 words, 113 times, and that word is lev. So therefore, if we put the lev into davening, that's what will get it through, and that was the secret of Chana's tefillah. And really, from Chana, a lot of Hilchas tefillah come from her davening. And the Baal Shem Tov told over a story, he said there once was a young shepherd who came to shul, but he didn't really know how to daven. The only thing he knew how to do well was whistle. And that's what he did. He whistled with feeling. And the Baal Shem Tov told the Tzibur afterwards, he said that whistling reversed. There was a big, terrible decree coming, and Hashem accepted that whistling because it was done with real feeling. And the same way, if we daven that way, we can accomplish the same. In 1950, Rav Dessler sent a letter to his Talmidim, and he wrote, he said, "Nosim einenu b'tfilosenu," he says, let's take a look at our davening. "Onu regilim lomar shonu mispalim." We're used to saying, yeah, we daven. "Aval harei ein ze emes klal." There is no truth to that statement at all. "Hein lo higanu adayin l'tfil." We haven't even reached what it means to daven. "Umemela shlo spalim l'adayin." And therefore, we memela have not even begun to daven yet. "V'arayi medin meforish." And the raya is from a straight out din. He says, "Shemish lo kivin v'brocha rishona." That if you didn't have kavana in the first bracha Shemoneh Esrei, you have to go back. Imkein erezim mamish ain tefilas u'tefilah. He says, and therefore, it's mamish that your tefilah is not a tefilah. He says, uve emes, and in reality, haino asurin lomer tefilas agamri. really it's also for us to daven. V'rak b'koshi hatiru. It was difficult for Chazal that they went ahead and matured for us. L'man lo nishkach in yinatvilo kol ikr, in order that we don't forget the concept of davening. And he says, and continuing it, he says that it's what we bring as davening will only cause Hashem to close the doors in front of it, because it's not really a davening. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says similar in the second half of the underlines. He says, v'hu adin, v'hatam binyan hatfila im yispalel, if one davens, v'lo kivin es libo b'tfiloso, and he does not have kavan in his tfila, el shumachashe b'hav le'azman b'scharoso v'kaspo z'havo, he's busy thinking about other things, his business, his money, hin is a chote, he's not only is his davening not a good davening, he's a sinner. V'chumat sh'ol of nemar, and on him it, you know, just about says, lo sasin, iti aloi kesev aloizov, you should not make foreign gods. Kloma shatam iti, when you're with me, v'ondim mitfil lafane, al takshu v'kesev izov, asher imochem, not to think about the kesev and zov. Ki mispal osazem misnake b'machshavto al melech Hashem yizborach, v'lefnei melech basav dom hayosig, and he says, in front of a regular king, we wouldn't do that. We'd be so much in awe that we wouldn't do it, and therefore, you know, we have to be, you know, careful not to cause us to be sinners. And the Seyyid Ayom says similar. He says, tefillah without kavana will not help us at all. And he says, to the contrary, it actually causes Hashem to take out our chatoyim, to look over, you know, who we are. And the Smak also says, tefillah, as we said, is a mitzvah shebelev. And a mitzvah shebelev is tefillah with kavana. And therefore, you have to think about and work on every meaning of every word. And this concept is in the word of tefillah itself. As we know, the word pilel means the word machshava. And Rashi in Chumash and Bereishis tells us pilolti is lashon machshava. That it's a lashon of thought, which obviously makes tefillah need kavana. And the root of kavana is kiven, a direction. And it's that element that directs our davening, moving heavenward, moving up to Hashem. And the mashal they bring is just as an archer, based on his power, based on the, you know, is how the distance is the pendant, is all, it's all done on the pressure he exerts on the bow. And he says the same things with tefillah. Our tefillah, it will get as far as the, you know, thought that we put into it. And Rashi tells us that the word kashti, he says this by Yaakov, when Yaakov told Yosef that I got Shechem b'charbi v'kashti, Rashi says kashti is tefilasi. So you see, keshes, the word bow, has to do with tefillah. And again, the amount, just like by the real archer, what he puts in is where the arrow goes. The same as what we put in our tefillah is where our tefillah goes. The Avudraham notes also, he says, there's a gematria. He says, if you take the gematria of tefillah and the gematria of the words b'kavanas halev, they equal 515. Showing again that... What?
Moshe Rabbeinu by 515 was... But
what shows you through the words of tefillah and the words of kavanas belev is that if you want your tefillah answered, you have to put kavanah belev into that tefillah. And therefore, if it's so vital, you know, to the tefillah, it is almost nonsensical that we invest time every single day, whether it's, depending on the minyan, a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour in the morning, 15 minutes of mincha, 10, 15 minutes of ma'ariv. And, you know, we don't put this in, but it comes with a price that's called time. And unfortunately, most of us don't have the time. And especially when we know when we're coming into shul and we know already, okay, I need to get out by a certain amount of time, it makes it very hard to slow down and concentrate. And just saying the words is already a big achievement. And the Mechaber tells us in Siman Aleph, he says, Tov ma'a b'tachnunim. Tachnuna b'kavana, it's better to say a little bit with kavana, meharbas below kavana, than a little bit without kavana. Say a lot with kavana, sorry, yes. And the Mechaber tells, again, it's better to say a little with kavana than a lot without kavana. And someone once came to Shlomo Zalman Orbach and said he had a choice of two minyanim to go to, both at 7 o'clock. One moved slowly where he could have kavana, one moved faster where he would not be able to have kavana. The catch is that he had to be out by 7:45 in order to get to catch the bus for work. Which minyan should he go to? Should he go to the one where he could daven better but leave early? Or go to the one where he could get the complete davening inside? And Rosh Shlomo Zalman answered, based on this mechaber, that it's better for him to go to the slower minyan and have to leave early, that at least he'll daven with kavana. And he just threw in, he said he should let people know why he's leaving to avoid any possible Chil Hashem that people suspect. I guess he didn't have that option. Maybe he was home helping his wife with the kids for school. You know, he didn't have the option. He had a chavrusa then. I can't tell you what the... So we see that davening with kavana takes precedence. And the Aruch HaShulchan also brings, he says, Ein lomar hazmiros, and hazmiros means Pesukah deZimra here, b'merutza, you should not say Pesukah deZimra quickly, ki emila b'mila, you should say word by word, v'ma'olam chodfin, if the tzibur is like grabbing, meaning they're rushing, v'urotza l'espal b'tzibur, and he wants to be able to daven Shemon Esri with the tzibur, he says, mutav sheyadaleg, it's better for him to skip, mishiyoma imam b'merutza, than to say it quickly with the tzibur. Falzeh Omru, and again, he brings that mechaber that we brought, Tov Ma'ad B'Kavona, Mehar B'Shalom B'Kavona. So he comes out, Lahalacha, that if a person has to skip in order to have Kavona, it's better to do that. Rav Shimon Schwab, I saw, brought that he felt that it's better not that one should not skip, but at least find one paragraph to do it a little more with Kavona, and the rest of it, you'll go quickly, and over time, you'll eventually build to be able to, you know, be able to do more and more. And obviously, one should ask a shayla from a rav or someone's rebbe, you know, what parts they can sacrifice, what parts they shouldn't sacrifice in order to be able to increase their kavana and the quality of their tefillah. But obviously, this is not a permanent solution. This is only something temporarily. It's a beginning in a plan that will allow someone to go step by step in order to make his davening a davening that's completely with kavana. And a person, again, you might start again with on one paragraph, the meaning of it, pronouncing it properly, until that becomes integral, you know, part of your davening. And then every time you say those words, it will naturally evoke that feeling, that kavana, and then you move on to the next paragraph. And slowly but surely, in that way, we will then be able to work on our kavana and daven a complete davening with the kavana properly. A story that I found, now this story actually relates back to a few weeks ago, and maybe one day when if I redo these Vadim stories, maybe will pertain to what we're doing. But there was once a time when there was this boy who was a young man, it was 1960, and Vice President Nixon was running against John F. Kennedy, and he was coming to New York and landing in Westchester. And he was going to be traveling, not like today in their bulletproof cars, but in an open convertible. And he was on his, going to go through by motorcade to New York City. And this boy wanted to meet Mr. Nixon, and he wanted, tell him a few words. And he, planned exactly where he was going to stand. And he was behind those barricades, and he was going to run up to Mr. Nixon, shake his hand, say a few words, and get a response. And sure enough, the vice president arrives. He's standing on Central Avenue in Westchester. There's a big crowd, and he sees the police motorcycles coming down the hill towards him, and then there are police cars, and sure enough, soon he sees a car with someone in the car waving to both sides, to the crowds on both sides. And it was Nixon. And sure enough, within moments, the vice president was in full view, and this was his chance. And he darted out from behind the barrier, ran up to the convertible. Nixon saw him coming. He stuck out his hand, shook hands with him, and he couldn't say a word. And he Nixon let go, turned to the other side, and the car kept going. And when he ran back before the police can take him away, people were like, wow, that was great, but he couldn't understand, why couldn't I have said anything at that moment? And he went to his rebbeim, and his rebbeim basically told him, he said, you see what the awe of being in the presence of a vice president even can do to you, where you didn't have what you wanted in front of you, and the moment you shook his hand, your thoughts became unraveled, and you didn't know what to say. It says, Kal v'chomer, when we stand before Hashem, which is again the reason we daven with a sitter, is our thoughts would unravel if we wouldn't be able to daven to him, just realizing, oh my gosh, who am I standing here before? So that was just something that again related back. But it was a very interesting story. Now the homework for this week. So again, we've done the Kaddish after Aleinu. We did the Kaddish after Rabbi Shmuel. We did the two Kriyat Shemas morning and night. So this week I figured we would attack Mincha and work on the Kaddish after Ashrei, since that's always a moment where they sort of Chazan finishes the Hilas and we're busy catching the last minute with someone of what happened during their day. So it'd be a good moment to give us a chance to focus on Al Mincha by, when the Kaddish starts, focusing and going into that davening.